Welcome to Campfire Stories, a podcast for sharing stories of Salesforce trailblazers.
Welcome to the newest episode of Campfire Stories. This is our last episode of the calendar year 2021 and the final episode of our BAM series, where we've been multipliers. And we are welcoming for a third time this year back to the campfire the beautiful and fabulous Cece Adams. Cece, so good to see you again.
So happy to be here again. Thank you so much, Stacey. I love popping up and getting to chat with you.
And the last time I saw you, it was your birthday at Dreamforce.
Yes, yes, yes. I thoroughly acted up on Dreamforce and on my birthday. It was my fashion week. It was my fashion week. That's pretty much how I pictured it. And it went off awesomely. There was cake. And I'm overwhelmed because so many people in the Ohana like made it such an awesome event and awesome thing. And we manifested that because the last conversation we had, we were like, okay, let's get Cece to Dreamforce. And then like it happened, and it actually happened twice. So there's magic in this show.
Yes. So did it live up to your expectations, your hopes?
It did. I heard a lot of people who'd been to previous one. So it was my first one. So like I went in like, oh my gosh. And a lot of people were like, you know, it's so different with all the people and everything. But to me, it was perfect. I think too many people would have overwhelmed and it maybe wouldn't have been the same experience it was. But like as an introvert and someone just kind of getting out there, like I was a kid in a candy store, like it lived up to all the hype.
That's awesome. Dreamforce never disappoints. But you have a very special guest that you've brought to the campfire today. Do you want to introduce us?
I do. And so life is random. And while we were at Dreamforce, I was in the airport going home after all these festivities. And I came across Rebe and Gilda. Wonderful, awesome, just amazing people. And the conversation just flowed. I felt like I'd known these people my whole entire life. I was just like, oh my gosh. And one thing I learned about Rebe in the brief time I got to talk to her, I didn't even get to talk to her for a long time, is she is a master of like all the things. Like I had not had a conversation where I learned so much in so little time in amazing different ways. Like my mind was blown. And then when I saw you were calling for speakers, I was like, okay, Rebe, because she just blew my mind in like, was it even half an hour? Like it was such a short period of time.
Yep. So we've got a group chat of anyone that's been on the podcast, and I had several people lined up to come as guests and just put out there, here's the list, who wants to co-host? And Cece was like, Rebe's my girl. That's it. I'm taking her. So, welcome, Rebe. We're really, can you tell, excited to have you with us.
Yes. I mean, what a way to close out 2021, right? Like, right? We talking about the difficult times. And, you know, I just feel blessed and honored that I could be here to be on your show and be the last one for the year, right? Wrap it up. So, it's been an interesting year for me. I know it's been an interesting year for a lot of folks. And like I said, I just feel honored that y'all invited me, right? Every time someone extends a, I'm like, aren't people tired of hearing about me? So.
No way. But you're right. It has been a year. Yancey made a comment the other day because we're living in temporary housing right now. We concluded our lease in North Carolina and we're building a house in Kentucky. So we're staying in temporary housing while the house is finishing being built. And he said, I feel like I just keep saying it'll be better next year. And I'm just so tired of that next year mentality. And I thought, well, it will be better next year, but it's already better this year than it was last year. And I think, you know, this is, it's a great focal point. And you didn't say those exact words, but Rebe, I feel like that's where you were already saying.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about it is I'm older than I look. And I've survived a lot, and I've been in some low points, right, in my life. And right now I'm at the highest. So even though like pandemic came, and there was like a setback, I thought of it as a reset, right? Mm-hmm. It was a realignment of like what's coming, right? And the thing about it is, you know, once you survive so many things and you make it, you just like, all right, let's see what you got for me next, life. Like, you know, like, let me just put on a new set of like gloves, because my gloves have been adjusted to what my hands, my mind, my body have dealt with already, right? I mean, COVID has been an interest prior to this, and I know y'all are like, you want to share? I just survived vid, right? I just survived COVID, literally. Last week, got out of quarantine. My whole family, except for my older daughter, had the Delta variant. And it came fast and hard. Like, them punches hit. And I'm literally about to give me a T-shirt, you know, because they wasn't handing out stickers, you know, from the COVID tracking team. Like, can I get some stickers and, like, banners or something in the mail after I provided you with information about my symptoms, like, that I survived COVID 2021? But like I said, that's why I feel so grateful that I'm here and I'm not at 100%, but the fact that I get to be here at more than 10 and more than 20, 30, 40, 50% is a blessing, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's how I look at it. So, you know, what's coming next, man? Nothing but good things. That's how I just like, you make that manifestation, you verbally vocalize it, right? And it happens. Like Cece, you're talking about Dreamforce, yo, so many things that are unreal. And the one thing I have to say about this ecosystem is you have one person who believe in you, and then it's like a chain effect, yeah. Right? A chain reaction. And that chain reaction is multiplied because it literally is the chemistry in the ecosystem where each one of us, we find or align ourselves in those pockets. And those sparks, and then boom, it's like multiple explosions of greatness. And a lot of people are like, that's some cult stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I saw the whole Lulu whatever on Amazon, you know, and I kept thinking like, this sound like what we be doing at our conferences. They have so much fun. I was like, but we all knew it was the blue Kool-Aid. But at the same time, you know, I've seen people step away and I've seen people embrace. And, you know, you have your moments, right? But at the same time, you build networks and business networks, and that's still a fundamental, right? And it doesn't necessarily, like, even when I started with Salesforce, I was like, I'm going to ride this wave as long as I can, right? And I can't believe it's been almost a decade already.
Mm-hmm. Like, it happens fast.
It does.
It goes so fast, right? And you look, when you in retrospect look at everything that has been accomplished, or people you've met, or people you've watched who've mm-hmm. taken their journeys and accomplished things, and where you got to sit in the audience or even be a part on stage in their story, yeah. That is amazing, right? I don't know what's much more uplifting than realizing that you are sitting either stage center front row to somebody else's journey that you may have been on stage at the beginning, and now you watching them walk across, you know, the remaining of the story, the remaining of the play, or you were backstage and you helped set up the lighting, right? Or you helped, you know, build the foundation, or you hooked up the costume. Like, it's all sorts of metaphors I could think about when it comes to a journey in Salesforce, because I'm always just, you know, excited and surprised about people's different paths and where they come from, right? And then mm-hmm. how do they all align? And that's mm-hmm. the beauty in it. That's what makes it different, because we were all told that in tech, you have to go through this traditional path. Mm-hmm. And then Salesforce came with this back door. Mm-hmm. And people were like, they would, you know, a lot of the people in tech, I feel, were pretty upset, because many of them felt like, well, these people who aren't traditionally trained are getting in. But it's like, yo, you got to root for the underdogs, man. Like, there's always going to be an underdog in every, like, business situation, pause because I don't know if y'all hear my oven beeping in the background.
Oh, I hear it now.
pause because my kids just don't care. Okay, pause. All right.
Oh, you kept saying Salesforce and they just popped up in my Twitter.
Twitter's listening.
Manifestation.
All right. So, I mean, I don't know where y'all want to segue next, but yeah, like I enjoy watching folks like shine, man. And whatever I could do behind the scenes to help people like get where they need to get, I mean, I do it. And I don't need to like share it. A lot of times I don't. Mm-hmm. Because to me, the most important thing is being able to know that I was sitting in the audience watching it and I knew where it started, right? It's sort of like when you watch them origin stories, how it was created.
Yes, I love those.
You love those, right? Because you like how it was created. I want to see where it started. And mm-hmm. I think about that with people's like livelihoods. Like some people, I see some of these young folks, they're like in their 20s. I'm like, I wish I knew half the things you doing when I was your age. Like, I wish I was that smart. Because I was being stuck on, I was being stuck on stupid, like making, you know, poor choices.
Let me ask you this, and I'm going to go ahead and say, I feel like we could stop the podcast right now, all the inspiration and encouragement. If you are not like sitting up going, yeah, I'm ready to go help people, then I don't know what episode you're listening to, but I'm going to pinpoint on one of the downsides that you mentioned. Because this is something I was actually thinking about just earlier today. And you mentioned that sometimes people get upset that you didn't follow the traditional path.
Yep.
And even outside of the stereotypes and the collective theys, I've even experienced some friends, some colleagues, some acquaintances, some people in my personal direct circles that they're there with me when I'm down. But as I started to
ascend,
level up,
yeah,
there's a, and I don't know, is it, you know, why can't I do that too? Although people can do it or what it is, but how do you deal with it? How do you approach that?
Well, you know, for me, the way you approach me is how I reflect. I'm a mirror. You know, and that was born out of common courtesy. I was raised, you know, you always respect folks and you know, you even acknowledge people. Even when you think they don't want to be acknowledged, you say, hi, how you doing to folks, right? Strangers on the street. That's just common courtesy, basic dignity. And that's also like building that reflection of what you receive. I'm just a mirror of somebody else's actions. Now, if they feel like, you know, maybe the work, you know, or accolades I've received are undeserved, you know, it makes me wonder, well, what is it that you didn't understand about how I got here? And what can I help you understand about why I'm here and why we even having this discussion? Mm-hmm. That's one way. But the other thing is also to understand that oftentimes people, and I always put myself in people's shoes, right? Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I wanted to be I started writing was because I found that being on the other side of, I guess you could say support level, I worked all the odd jobs where it was in the service areas, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I gained and I earned empathy. Even for those people who were the most evil to me, I still had to find something in myself to survive that day. And one of it was to empathize with they having a bad day because, and that's how I would start the storyline in my head for why mm-hmm. they're having a bad day. You don't understand where I've gotten in my accolades because something inside of you doesn't want to acknowledge my greatness. Mm-hmm. That's not my problem. But at the same time, there's this empathy and sympathy in me that wants to like still give you that opportunity to overcome that. And oftentimes I find that in discourse. I mean, this is why I studied rhetoric and the art of persuasion. And part of like empathy is pathos. part of like basic presidential speeches is pathos, logos, and ethos. Like those are the three pieces. And a lot of time that pathos is like, all right, well, let me have some empathy or sympathy. How can we get aligned on the same level? I had an incident. I had several incidents like that. I had a man accuse me of stealing his credit card at a register. Oh. I know. And I saw this man place it in his wallet. Hmm. And so he asked to speak to a manager before even like allowing me to defend myself.
And or even checking his own wallet.
Yeah. And the manager comes over and he says, she took my card. She didn't give it back to me. And I said, sir, you know, and I told her, I said, I believe he needs to turn his wallet over and check the slot. And sure enough, he did. And he pulled it out. And he never said, I'm sorry. Never said thank you. He didn't say anything. Mm-mm. But then I thought to myself, and I was like, man, I feel bad for that man. Because I don't know what he was going through that created that type of anxiety. Mm. That he felt the need to do all of that and create that situation, right? And I mean, that's a part of me that's grown. I wasn't always optimistic. I used to be a pessimistic, angry child. So, but as you get older, you get wiser, right? Mm. Because you start to learn about situations. I had an incident on my way from Dreamforce. The last Dreamforce, I was on the plane. Well, right before I check in early. I even paid extra for my seat. I always like the window. I paid for a premium row. Ooh. And they changed my seating to some bogus seat in the same row, but it was a bogus seat. And they were just like, oh, this happens. No, it don't happen because I paid for a premium seat and I specifically selected the window.
Yeah.
So in my head, I'm like, some privileged person made a fit and they changed my seat on purpose. And so when I get on the plane, of course, I see a gentleman and a young son. And I'm like, now it would have been nicer if they had asked me when I got to the ticket counter versus changing my seat. And I was sitting next to a woman. And Charlie Isaacs was on this plane. He comes back to my row, which is like one or two rows behind first class. And he's like, hi, ma'am. Are you an engineer? I'd like to take a photo with you. Like, just being Charlie Isaacs, right? So people in the plane are like, yo, this man walked out of first class to come and take a picture with this woman who's sitting like not in first class. I love and he said she's an engineer. So I'm like, yo, I love Charlie. And he's like, yo, when you come to Maryland, the DMV, we got to hook up. I'm like, all right, cool. So then the woman next to me goes, so are you an engineer? And she's like, what type? And I go, software. I implement solutions on, pause. Messing up a good story. It's my sister. All right. So, unpause. The woman who's sitting next to me goes, oh, are you an engineer? And I go, yes. And goes, what type? And I was like, I'm a software engineer. I implement Salesforce for companies and I do all sorts of cool things and I love it. And she goes, oh, I'm a technical engineer. So she builds auditory equipment, right, for hearing aids and stuff like that. And we started talking about all these great things about sound theory and, like, you know, just on some random, because I read articles and, you know, many TED Talks and videos, had some interest and questions. And she goes, yeah, my husband and my son and I are on this trip. So I realized it was her husband and her son that were on this trip in the same row. Now, I had plans to like rip the airline a new one for the simple fact they had not offered me this choice when I had paid for my seat. But it's only when I was talking with this woman that I made that connection. And I was like, but at the same time, I didn't feel guilty. I was still steamed because it was like they had taken my choice, which I paid for.
Yeah.
Hands, right? And it was the airline. But at the same time, I was just looking at her like, so your son took my seat, right? But at the same, you know, like you, mm-hmm. it's funny how the universe plays you, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And that to me was like a perfect example. Like, put yourself in people's shoes. You never know what the story is, right? And that's what happened. And it was just, it was a delightful story. I still learn lessons, right? I'm always looking at the universe like, what lesson are you going to teach me today? Mm-hmm. So that was the funny one. But yeah, that's how I deal with a lot of them situations. Just, it's not easy. I've had people say to me like, oh, so you do CRM? And I was like, no, I actually solution CRM and then some, because that CRM connects to other integrations and other tools. And I have to learn how to manage and use those other tools, or how they're going to work and how they're going to fit and how are people going to use it. And there's things called user stories, and there's this thing called agile or waterfall. These are all the skills that you attain in order to become better, right? And be the best that you can. Even development, a lot of people don't even realize that I develop. And then when they do, they like, yo, I seen your, you know, what do you call it? Background on my VS Code, and this mm-hmm. punk theme. I got the cyberpunk thing because I like colors. So it's like
that's the one I use. That's crazy.
Yeah, I love. I'm telling everybody like, yo, that cyberpunk works so well for my old eyes because them tags be popping in different colors, and I can find the error.
Sure.
So, you know, things like that. I don't know, like I have a passion for learning, mm-hmm. right? Like I tell people about when Heroku came out, they had the Hitchhiker's Guide to Heroku. I thought that was so dope. I loved it. I was building on them dynamos, man. Like it was dope.
Like I feel like your tagline is Rebe, developer of code, people, and businesses.
Yeah,
like, yeah, I was all around.
I didn't realize that I had this knack for that though. Even one of the things I have to say I learned working with Pep Up Tech was it challenged me in ways of understanding what were my limits, right? And my boundaries, and what were the limits and boundaries that I had preconceived notions about within my head that prevented me from surpassing what I had already thought that I was able to accomplish, right? Like, We the ones that set up the hurdles for our own, you know, destinies. And that's nothing stopping you from doing things but yourself. At the same time, like, you know, there's work-life balance. I think as we all get older, we're redefining that. And even in this COVID pandemic, like earlier I was sharing with y'all, like my kids treat my office like WeWork. I'm like, I'm gonna have to start charging them like hourly fees. Like, if you're trying to WeWork and co-share in my office, like,
you charge them for snacks.
Like, we gonna be charging like an hourly rate. Like, you need a membership to be in my office. Like, seriously. Like, but you know, it's interesting. We all, people who have kids or animals, it's the accepted now. But I remember before COVID, when I would remote work, it was like taboo, like, oh, your kid.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Or, yes. Oh my God, my cat jumped on the desk. I'm sorry. Like, she don't care about your rules. She don't care about any human rules. She's a cat.
Right. It's
like, I was like, but now it's accepted. It's like, oh, look at your cat. Oh, your kid, no worries, right?
My kids, like, they go on meetings and they like wave and people talk to them. And I'm just like, but like you said, I used to work remote for all sorts of different places. And like, you couldn't even have like a single noise in the background, a kid, a baby crying, anything. It's like,
which is unreal. You
get home for that. Right.
It's just, like, how you gonna write me up because my kid asked me for lunch when you want to set up a meeting during lunchtime? Like, Mm-hmm. If there's a choice, it's going to be my kid. So I openly tell clients too, I'm like, listen, my child is hungry. I have to feed her or mm-hmm. you're going to have problems with this. She will shut the computer down. She don't care.
Well, I mean, in reality, it's no different than if you're in the office. Like if you're sitting at your cubicle, you're going to hear background noise and things of other coworkers and colleagues puttering around. Even in conference rooms or boardrooms, somebody pops their head in. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this room was open. Yes. Or, I need so-and-so to step out for a moment. You know, like come and grab people and have side chats. Like all of that happened in person as well.
All the time. Yeah. It was unacceptable then. But now it's like this, we all going to refer to it as the post-pandemic. It's like, oh, how the workforce changed. It's like, no. How the workforce realigned with society. Okay.
Yeah.
Clear because people already knew, like employees knew that I get more done working from home mm-hmm. than going to work because I cut out 2-3 hours out of my commute. Or mm-hmm. I find I'm not taking as long a lunch because I'm just trying to get my day done faster mm-hmm. so I can end and wrap. Or maybe I'm watching TV at the same time and it's a good binge on Netflix. So I'm going to put in some extra time. I don't know. Like,
it's easier to go on do not disturb and get some head down time.
Exactly.
To actually do focused work.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's an interesting notion. And it makes me wonder, like, what are the REITs going to be? Because, you know, I got interest in like investment and stocks and crypto. Mm-hmm. That's things that I began teaching myself in the pandemic. That's why I was like, this pandemic has been like great for me. I learned so much. I learned how to be a business owner, which is, I feel like so many fail because they don't really do the research. You got to do due diligence. And
so can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. Basically left my job.
mm-hmm. Perfect timing, right?
Yeah, left my job in like 2018 and was like, yeah, I can't do this anymore. A lot of people didn't know, and I said this on other interviews, I was like dying behind the scenes. Like they would see me doing all these things and I was slowly like, my fire was dwindling, right? Because they didn't know I had a whole job as a solution architect. And I didn't even realize I was a solution architect. I was growing into a solution architect the whole time I was building and working with Pep Up Tech and everything else, right? Like, and that was insane. And it's only in hindsight that I can see that. But even when I was taking this leap of faith into myself, it went through the 7 stages of what I call grief. Right? I call it salary withdrawal syndrome. So you like that first week, you just like in denial that this check is not going to come, right? Like you like maybe a little extra going to show up, maybe. And then the second stage is like anger. You like, man, forget that job. I don't need them. I didn't need that check, you know? And you go through all these stages to that last one where you laying the flower on the grave of getting that automatic pay. Like, every 2 weeks, you like, all right, sis, we're going to have to put in some work, right? But the first thing I did was make a list. I made a list of 10 things that I was most scared of, right? And I made a list of the 10 things I wanted to accomplish. So the first 2 pages, and I literally wrote this on the plane in a journal on the way to French Touch Dreaming 2018. Mm. It was also a manifestation of the universe because my good friend Jean-Michel in 2017 was like, Rebe, we got to get you to Paris. And I was like, Jean-Michel, you invite me. I'm going to make it happen next year. We're going to do it. He was like, we're going to make it happen. And it was crazy because 2017 was when I was talking about if you were to walk into the Louvre in the Pep Up Tech video. And then in 2018, I'm walking into the Louvre. Like, talk about a crazy manifestation.
Yes.
And while I'm on the plane, I start to write what I want my business to be. And so I started to write the fundamentals of what I wanted my foundation, things that I, you know, core essential truths of my business. Like, I needed there to be integrity. I needed there to be something where people wanted to work with me. And the people who work with me, they don't work for me, they work with me, right? And it's a reminder that I remind myself, because everybody that I work with, we work together, right? Don't nobody work for me. And if anything, I'm trying to foster individuality and creative, you know, intent for them to be able to define their own paths. I wanted my business to be a jump starter for people to have a chance and an opportunity, right? But at the same time, I didn't know nothing about business. So I'm like, all right, I need a list of people who I know have businesses and I need to talk to them. So I wrote a list of 10 people. And then I went and had hour meetings with them 10 people. And some of those people I still have like hourly touch points and one-on-ones just to talk about where I'm at, what I'm doing, what could be done, or how they can help, or if there's anything we could do to partner up or anything like that. Then it was just crazy because literally the day I gave my notice was a Monday morning. And I was sitting there the whole day just anxious and anxiety and just like nervousness. And on that Tuesday morning, somebody called me up and was like, yo, you starting a company? And I was like, I just put in my resignation yesterday. And it's like, I got this contract potential for you, a client. And I was like, yo, are you serious? And I had to turn to my husband. I was like, yo, she called me talking about she got a contract. Like, I just can't believe this is happening, right? But that was, again, the universe giving me a sign that I made the right decision, right? Don't get me wrong, it was rough because I didn't get a paycheck. I didn't have no contracts. Yet something in me woke me up every morning to still try to figure out what it is I need to do to build a good business. How do I go about building a business? Reading IRS tax codes and small business association administration documentation, looking for if there's a grant or incubator program that will fit my needs, and do I want to give up equity, and learning what that means and what do VCs offer. So I spent the majority of 2018 being broke and, you know, just researching and planting seeds, calling people, reaching out to people, letting them know. And they started to sprout literally in March of 2020 when the pandemic hit. And it's kind of crazy because you like, think about it. I quit my job in October. So there's October, November, December, January, and February of like just off the strength trying to figure out what to do, how to do. And literally it was a reset because before that, I'd been at the top of my game making money and all the fringe benefits and everything. And this was a reminder of like, hey, this is what, you know, could be if you don't get yourself together and align with what you need to do and make a plan. And so I made a plan and I started doing it. It's been great ever since. Like that, I didn't actually get my first contractor until maybe August of 2020. And it was one of my students who happened to like need it, and I was able to provide it. And then I had other people that I hired as contractors, and I was able to do it when they needed it the most. And that was what felt the greatest, was being able to be that person to extend that offer and help somebody when they needed it. And to help rebuild self-esteem. Because when you lose, it's different when you quit a job, right? And you got a plan. But when you lose a job, it hurts. And I don't think we address that. There's no therapy for that. There's no like support groups. I don't think people realize how much it hurts when a company lets you go, because it makes you really look at yourself and go, what did I do wrong, right? Like if somebody has never been fired before, I really need them to sit down and talk with somebody who's been fired, because it's not a good feeling, you know? And I've been there before, but when I jumped on this Salesforce wave, that's when I had decided I would never let anybody control my path and my journey when it comes to like what I'm trying to do in life. Because I had that moment of anxiety where I thought I was going to lose my job on some pettiness, right? Because I saw them fire 15 people. Like on one day, and I was packing up my cubicle like, man, they fired 15 people. They about to fire me. Shoot, let me pack my stuff up, and was waiting to get fired. How stupid is that? Like,
goodness, that's stressful.
Thank you. And think about how many people live that way right now. Mm-mm. And what type of stress, undue mental fatigue, anxiety, sickness, that stuff affects your health.
It does.
Your own well-being and your self-esteem. Self-esteem is key. So for me to be able to provide a handout and lift up to folks that I know who needed it, and I was there to be able to, I was like, yo, that's dope. Like, I felt good about that. And 2020 for me was dope. I was like, yo, it's pandemic, but I'm doing and I feel good about it. And mind you, I bootstrapped my company. I did contract jobs. And I just was busting my butt, building my own capital, right? And now I'm in another transition phase of learning how to delegate, right? So it's like sophomore phase of business owner. Okay, now that you bootstrapped and you were doing every job, how do you start delegating what needs and also guiding at the same time? So that way they able to support you at the best of their abilities and mm-hmm. also grow. Because I want people to develop. I don't want you to just be stagnant. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that I found, like all the things I found wrong in companies I work for, that's the things I wanted to build in what I had. I'm even writing like my own HR book for like my contractors. Well, not just to be contractors with me, but to be contractors with anybody. Because there's a freedom in that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it offers people more opportunities to live their lives freely.
Mm. I think Rebe's going to be a best-selling author. She writes yeah. her.
I'll take the business management class, too, that you're right. clearly going to start, because I think I just got one.
Well, it's real talk. Like, and I even signed up for like a business incubator program. Mm-hmm. It's called the TAP program. So it's the acceleration program. And they're based out of New York. Wonderful woman, Jane Barone, started it. She's actually the mayor of Scarsdale, New York. And I came across that from a former college friend who, you know, all these Black marketers, they wanted to do something in PR and agency and ads and provide opportunities for small businesses. And so the acceleration program provides business guidance to small business owners. And so I was the first one in tech. And they didn't know. They were like, who are we going to sign her to? And so they gave me a former NASA woman who worked at NASA and another woman who was like this boss software engineer, like CTO at a company as consultants for me on how to do a business, right? And so like, yeah, and it's dope because the universe provides things and you just have to be open to seeing it. So, you know, I implore people to go for that as long as it's still available, you know, especially you trying to do business, take advantage of incubator programs, mm-hmm. VC startup incubator programs, apply, you know, don't sell yourself short. If you want to start a business, there's so much out there in terms of resources. And I'm always trying to push the dial to make companies like, I don't know, Salesforce offer more, you know, because I do things intentionally, right? Like I'm not a Salesforce partner. I put that out there. It's not, I don't have the time investment to be a Salesforce partner. And that's just honest truth. Like a lot of the things they want, it doesn't really align with what I have and what I'm trying to go for. And so I can't really invest what they need. And they're like, well, we provide this. And I'm like, that's not really providing what I need. So if they provided an incubator small business association program that walked people through things like that, like walked me through how to do my taxes, how to do set up contractors, how to onboard and develop people. You offer those type of services to a small partner, right? You mm-hmm. offer them package extension, things like that. Then, okay, I would see myself be one, but it's not feasible for me. I'm open mm-hmm. to anyone over there who wants to talk about it. I've talked to y'all before, but apparently I'm listening. So, hey, it is what it is, and I'm going to do me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems to be working for you.
Yeah, but you know, it is the power of the Ohana and the ecosystem, really. Mm-hmm. And just planting those seeds and doing good work. I have to say that, like, you really put your passion into the work you do, then your work will speak for itself. Like, people will know your work is credible and that you really care about what you're doing and mm-hmm. how you're approaching your methodologies, right? Mm-hmm. Defining them.
Well, I think it's important to say, point out though, that you had two pieces to your path. You put in the work, you put in the effort to learn about Salesforce, learn about running a business, learn about writing contracts, learn, you know, it's all the knowledge, work and effort you did, but you also utilized your network. And that doesn't mean you need to be an extrovert. You need to be, yeah, look at me on social media all the time, yeah, but you connected in your own way, yep, to the community and you utilized that network.
I literally made phone calls.
And I think so many people get caught up in just one or the other,
yep,
and think, well, if I'm connected to enough people on Twitter, then that will help.
Nope.
Or if I do enough Trailhead modules and do enough studying, get enough certifications, that will help. But it really is the combination of both things, yes, together.
Well, here's the other thing. And I've often used this metaphor when I do like a presentation on training. Who would you rather get on the plane with? The guy who's been flying for 20 years or the guy who read about flying for 10 years but never flew a plane? I'm gonna get on that plane with that man who been flying for 20 years, because when that plane is gonna crash, he know how to pull it up. And that's the same thing with Salesforce and Trailhead, right? Trailhead is great to teach you how to do it, but when things break, does Trailhead tell you how to fix it? Mm-hmm. And that's why I always tell people, like, my sister is learning on Trailhead, right? Because I'm like, yo, you'd be a great project manager. But I feel like if you have knowledge of Salesforce, that will help you be a better project manager, because she already does project coordination for a major hospital. It both aligns, the same stuff. So she calls me up and she goes, I don't get this. And I say, hold up, let's screen share. Let's see what you did. Yeah. And then automatically walking through the steps. And, you know, there's some fundamental flaws in language and direction. You know, especially when you're a newbie, yeah, versus somebody who already knows. And I tell her, I said, listen, after you're done with that trail, I want you to go onto your trail playground. And I want you to just build something off the strength based on things you know would be needed in your own role.
Yes.
And because she does that application, she learned list views better, or she made some things and it clicked, right? And that's that thing about application versus, you know, just learning. But I'm sort of like a cheater, because I went to college towards the end to be a professor, and I was very invested in being able to teach people, right? So I learned about pedagogy and approach and methodology, and that works and translates into business for me, right? I got a degree in writing. I could write the heck out of some contracts, and scoping is a skill. It really is. And I feel like scoping an estimate for a client is a combination of not just technical knowledge, but also understanding approach and methodology, right? How long will it take this person to build reports and dashboards? How long would it take me to do it versus how long would it take somebody at a different level? right? Or if I'm doing a project for somebody else. But again, these were things I learned working as a solution architect and having to manage projects and scope these projects. Like, once I started scoping $1 million projects, I was like, man, I think I've already got my PhD in scoping. Right.
Estimating and scoping is one of the hardest things.
It is an art form. And I feel like so many people get into business on their own in the Salesforce industry as contractors and don't really understand that there's this whole level of scoping and estimating what you can do, what you can't do, how long it would take. Mm-hmm. And even like scope includes assessing your risk.
Right.
And a lot of people don't include them.
Right. I'm always like, oh yeah, I can do that in 5 minutes. I can do that in 30 minutes. Like, you know, I always think of like how long is it going to take me to sit at the computer and do the clicks, right? That's the first thought that comes to mind. It's like, no, wait, but you got to take the time to get the requirements, document, test, verify that, you know, whatever the level is.
UAT, like there's all these very, and then
meetings even back and forth.
Scope checks. Like how many people do scope checks to make sure that you're aligned with the client? That's huge. But again, there's things in business. And one of the things I work with my contractors is if they want to learn these things, hey, let's set up time and I teach. And I show and I guide and I'm like, hey, you want to help me with this? That's the best way for someone to learn is to have them shadow and take on a part of it. And then the next time they take on more of it and you go behind and you QC it and then they do it again and you QC it and they start to learn. Right. Yeah. It's the basics of apprenticeship.
So let me ask you, Rebe, for those who are listening and may have this question, are you looking for contractors, especially entry-level people?
So I actually have a list of people.
You got a wait list.
I literally have to build a wait list in Salesforce, which is a good thing, right? Because there's so many people that, you know, there's great people with great potential out there. And at the same time, one of the things is I try to take the time to speak to as many people as I can and not just offer them an opportunity if I have it, but also extend other opportunities that come by my way, because for some reason I've become like LinkedIn, but it's like Rebe in, I don't know.
Right? Well, that was going to be my follow-up is a two-parter. Like you already have your list. So if somebody wanted to be on a future version of that list, where do you find people or where do you want them to find you? And what do you look for those entry-level positions?
That's the thing. Like, you know, it's always a case by case, right? Everybody is a little different in terms of like intake. And that's the thing. Like, I don't do the broad strokes across the board with like, oh yeah, I'm looking for this, and this, these qualities, because that might take out a hopeful that doesn't have the qualities you named off the top of your dome, right? So how do people reach me? Usually via Twitter. Some people hit me on LinkedIn. I'm sorry, I don't connect with people I don't really know on LinkedIn. I just, because I feel like, you know, I spent so much time shaking hands and kissing babies. It's like in person. Like, we can't kiss nobody no more because of
COVID. I was saying, this COVID.
Like, elbow bumping with people now.
High five.
Air five. Like, don't touch my hand. But on Twitter right now, I've been, like, taking my time with my website. I don't even have a website, which is crazy. I've been running a business without a website. But companies have run businesses without websites. Because there was something called business before there was the internet. I'm just saying. So not only that, I call myself a boutique consulting firm. Because I'm not Macy's, I'm not Target, I'm not Gap, right? Like, I'm on like one of them custom, you need to have a password to get in the door. Because I need you to be vetted. I don't know who you are and if it's even like, you know, anything I can do. Right? And I feel like, why not? Because I'm offering a quality service.
Yeah. I think it's better to have no website than have a bad one. So.
That's
websites are a lot to maintain.
Exactly. Exactly. And why is it a priority of a business? Does it necessarily have to be if you've already planted the seeds and have the network? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm always been, I guess you could say, unorthodox. I should just have a t-shirt for that. Like, I survived COVID 2021. It's going to be, I survived the vid 2021. And I'm just unorthodox. Accept it.
I have one of those too.
There's your side hustle, Rebe. Making t-shirts.
T-shirts. I know, right? I don't need another side hustle. I'm already in crypto.
Are you still involved with Pep Up Tech?
No, unfortunately, I had to resign when I had, you know, made the decision to put into a business. Mm-hmm. But I still do teach classes for free locally with City mm-hmm. Colleges of Chicago. So I'm an adjunct faculty with their professional education center. Currently, I teach a class. It starts in mid-late January with Liz Halanga and Allison Park for locals in the Chicago area. Mm-hmm. So.
And is that a Salesforce related class?
It is. It's an intro to Salesforce class. It's 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. Like nice. I said, it's free. Cause we were just trying to like get more locals mm-hmm. in our area, you know? So even though I can't be a part of Pep Up Tech anymore, cause I have to do the business, mm-hmm. I'm able to do that class cause I have a lot of local folks in the community mm-hmm. who are vested in helping out and volunteering.
And you're running a user group in the
I do. As well, right? I co-run a user group, the formerly the Gypsies of the Suburbs, because I don't know if y'all know about the Chicago suburbs, but they everywhere. And set up tent everywhere, I swear. But we're now the Downers Grove group. We got our small group, and we do a lot of things in the Chicago area as a joint venture. So the Chicago groups and area groups, period, we have all sorts of stuff. Top golf, barbecue events.
I see the hashtag all the time, the Chicago Hana.
Yes. We you know, are the leaders in our group and our peeps in the Chicago area. I don't think we ever had like any strife amongst us. We always doing stuff together or co-chairing stuff or.
And you've all been leaders for a good amount of time.
Yeah, I know. It's been a minute. Right? People be looking at me like, you are a user group? I know, right? That, I don't even know. I keep trying to bow out. And now I'm like, I can't leave. I can't. Because I don't know. That's how I started.
Nothing nice. Wrong with that at all.
Yeah. So, but nah, that's what's up, man. And it's just, it's cool. You know, I can't wait to be out of COVID. Out of pandemic, I should say, so we mm-hmm. can get back to like in person. Although, like,
you guys are not doing in person meetings yet.
And that, the Dreamforce one was an interesting one for me. I know, Cece, you said that was your first, and that was like my, I think that's my sixth or seventh.
Oh, wow.
And I feel grateful because 2014. In 2013, I had asked to go to Dreamforce and leadership laughed in my face, literally, both times. And I was like, you know what? That's when I had made that decision. I was like, I'm going to Dreamforce and mm-hmm. I'm going to make it happen. And I did. And I've been going ever since. So,
yeah. I'm the same. I went 2014. I had watched the previous year online and I thought, and there was not a whole lot online, but like the main keynotes were streamed in 2013. Mm-hmm. And I thought I will find a way to get myself there. And I did. And I've not missed yet.
Yep.
So it's incredible. But I will say there was something nice about the intimate.
Yes.
I love the crowds and the energy and the running into the people when you least expect it. Yeah, that's it's fantastic. But I did not miss the needing to plan 20 plus minutes between every session because you've got to walk a mile and a half to get to your next place. And
that anxiety. I think the last couple Dreamforces that I've attended, including this smaller one, mm-hmm. I just go with the flow. I didn't really have any set agenda, mm-hmm. like a couple that I would hit, but it was more organic for me.
Yeah.
And if anything, I just wanted to like just chill with people.
Yes, that's what it was. It was just, we've been apart way too long.
We just that karaoke was crazy, man. Like,
yes.
You know, I love me some karaoke.
I heard so many great stories. I couldn't make it after the Salesforce military had a dinner Monday night. And, you know, Dreamforce is this big and there were still overlapping things. Of course, it's how it always is.
I kept hearing about different things and I was like, yeah, I'm tired. I can't.
It's like, how is there that many things for such a few number? But, you know, it's awesome. But I think I've done an extreme version of like every type of extreme Dreamforce. So I had the year where I planned every minute of every day and then was exhausted.
Yep.
I've done where I haven't planned anything at all and then I was aimless. And then I finally found a pretty good balance, but then the last big one, the 2019, I over-volunteered. And so I had like two or more volunteer. I spoke almost every day. I was volunteering and I was volunteering some in the admin area, some in the app exchange area, some in the Pardot area. So I was all over the place.
Yes.
And so my whole schedule was full and I was like, I don't have time to do anything for me.
Yep.
And I love the volunteering stuff. Don't get me wrong, but you know, I'm learning how to say no.
learning how to say no is big, especially when it comes to like the volunteering, because mm-hmm. I find like in the Chicago Ohana too, we all like enjoy it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we all are like user group leaders, or we actually used to do like Midwest Dreaming was like huge, right? Like just planning and helping and being a part of all of that. But sometimes you got to be like, I got to take a step back. And that's pretty much what I've been doing when I took a step back. I had to take steps back from everything just to realign. Like I had to refocus my chakras. Right? I was like, my Salesforce chakras is everywhere, but where they need to be, I need to realign these suckers so I can be the best that I can be, right?
So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's part of your reset, right?
It is. It's a reset, man. Like I say that with my kids too. Like when they get in trouble, I'm like, you need a reset. So you can remember, like, you can remember who's in charge. Let me reset you for a second, and then we're gonna be good, right? Like
stealing that.
It really is such a good mentality, because it's not saying that where you've been is wrong or bad or, anything. It's just saying, just reset, right?
Exactly.
And it's all about where you go from here, what your next step is.
Exactly. I can't be dwelling on negative. And another thing is I be telling folks all the time, you got to put yourself in a petty check, right? Like you think about the penalty box in hockey. Mm-hmm. I got a penalty petty check box that I put myself in. Like, all right, let me calm down, not be petty. Let's realign and reset on my thoughts and energies. Mm-hmm. Let's go forward, because it's not really worth it to, invest, right? Because life is short, right? And if you expend your life into negative areas, you waste it. It's been expended. It ain't coming back.
Right. You have a set amount of energy. And if you spend it on negative things.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's hard. Yep. People make it hard. Let's be real. We human. They make it so hard. That's why they got cheerleading songs about being petty and memes and everything. Gifts. But, at the end of the day, everybody got a story. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of, did they really relate to you, what their story was, where they coming from? Mm-hmm. And do you really know how heavy their shoes are? Do their shoes hurt? Do they feet hurt? Do they mind, body, and soul hurt? Because people who hurt tend to lash out the most.
So that's true. Hurt people hurt people.
Exactly. And so, that's it. Empathize. You never know. You may be able to flip that energy.
Well, I think anybody that works in technology knows that when there is something that isn't working right, you reboot, which is basically a reset.
Yeah. Or you, if you're in Salesforce, you blame salesforce.trust.com. You're like, it's down on that server C16. I can't help you. Like,
it's all Salesforce gremlins. Anytime something weird happens, I don't know. It was the gremlins.
Like, you didn't get that incident report. I just need you to know.
Dang on gremlins. They wanted to get there.
Oh, that's fun. Oh man.
Awesome. All right. So, Rebe, it was so great to get to chat with you and get to know you a little bit better. I remember the first time that you and I have really spent a good amount of time talking, and it was sitting by a campfire after Connections in 2019 in Chicago.
Yes, at McCormick Place outside the hotel.
Yep. It started raining on us. Yes. But good times. And Cece, oh my goodness, always such a pleasure to have your bright energy and welcoming spirit here on the campfire. So, Rebe, one last question as we wrap up, which is, you said not to contact you necessarily on LinkedIn. The best way is Twitter. And what is your Twitter handle?
It's Rabedella, Rabedella. It was a name fluke from, what was that? A seventh grade jazz festival. They
said
my name wrong on the name tag. They called it Rabedella Pass. And that nickname stuck with me since seventh grade.
That's awesome. What a great story. Yeah.
Yes, they introduced me as a soloist. Was like Rabedella Pass. I'm like, man, that ain't my name, but okay. So hit me up on Twitter. And I got my website, which is RebeDeLaPaz.com. I think I got a contact me on there. I got to check.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that, Rabedella and Cece. And to our listeners, thank you so much for being with us as we wrap up our fourth year of podcasting. And stay tuned.
Nice.
There are some great, exciting new things in store for the new year. So enjoy any and every holiday that you are celebrating this season, and spend some wonderful time with your family and your Trailblazer community. And we'll see you back at the virtual campfire next year.